And welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, December the 19th, 2020. It's season 14, episode number 36. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Same way, just look for InGameChat. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in InGameChat, you'll find us. You can watch us live while we broadcast the show. You can join us in the chat room with everybody else and discuss whatever they're going to discuss in the chat room. Welcome to our Christmas show. I don't know. About the only thing we talk about is the fact that there's Christmas music instead of our normal regular type bumpers. But these are songs that are all in video games. So it's not something somebody made, like a fan made for it. Mm-hmm. It's all stuff that pulled directly from the video games that they all come from. My headphones are really loud, by the way. That's fine, though. You can hear me, and that's good. I can easily hear myself. I'll mess with that later. Any idea where this music's from, by the way?
No idea.
Okay. That is from... I've got the game, and I've never played it, which is exactly what you're going to hear probably about a lot of these titles that come up. It's from the Rockstar, Bully.
Okay. Okay. Been a long time since I played that game, though.
It got a remaster a couple of years back.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so this is called Balls of Snow. And it's a pretty good tune.
Yeah.
If that was made specifically for the game or if they licensed it out, I don't know. Really good, though. Good little tune.
Fun little game, too.
Never played it.
Yeah.
Own it. Own the remaster. Never played it. Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. I already did the clapper thing, and just a show note for you that this is, we're not going to do a show next week. Mm-hmm. In fact, this show will replay next week, so that's what you can expect for next week.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, exactly. Merry Christmas. Why not play Christmas music during the Christmas season? Well, what a novel idea. So, yeah. Anyway, a little bit rushed here. I think we got everything done. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little thinking that what I forget, you know? I'm in. I got chat pulled up. We're good on the thing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks okay.
You forgot your sound levels.
Yeah. That's okay. Just my headphones.
Yeah.
I think everybody else can hear us pretty good.
Well, if you forgot anything, we'll hear about it later.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, we'll figure it out. So, welcome to the show. It is 1 week until Christmas. I hope you guys have gotten your all your shopping done, and if you haven't, you ain't got that many days left to get it done. By the way, if you haven't gotten your shopping done, I know that everybody's doing a lot of online shopping because of the pandemic and everything else, but if you need it before Christmas, you may have to risk it and go out and get it, because even ordering online, even if it tells you that, let's just take Amazon for example, the two-day prime shipping, that's what they promise, but they don't have any control over making that happen once it leaves their facility. And by the way, I ain't knocking the mail. I'm not knocking the Postal Service whatsoever, because I understand they're inundated with just a ton of packages and mail and everything else. I understand it. I get it. And they have short staff and everything. They got to deal with the pandemic just as much as we do.
And just remember, we just heard about the shipments of vaccines through UPS and FedEx and all the other mail carriers as well. So
they got
that's going to take priority over everything else.
Got some more important things to deliver. I totally agree. So, yeah, I'm not knocking any of these delivery places. I'm just saying that the chances of you getting something by Christmas is very, very slim. I've had a few things that were supposed to be here before Christmas and have still yet to show up.
Yeah, I've got orders too. They're gonna no rush though. I'll be here when they get here, hopefully.
I have that song stuck in my head now. I mean, obviously it's just Carol of the Bells, but still, which is a tune that is just, obviously if I had to pick a favorite Christmas song, Carol of the Bells is going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many different versions. I will take them all. So, in fact, there's another one that I play every single year that is pretty much based on Carol of the Bells, and it comes from Batman Arkham Origins, which is a game that took place Christmas Eve, you know, into Christmas Day type of thing, which I love that, and it makes me want to break the game out and play it again just because it's that time of year. It's the season.
Yeah.
'Tis the season, you know. If it's that season in the game, I want it to be that season in life, you know, which is a great thing that Animal Crossing does because obviously the seasons, they go with you. So it's kind of nice. Let me check and see who's in the chat room real quick, because the fact that Lethal Migraine hasn't berated me over anything yet is weird. He is not in there yet. That's why. I was ready for it. Let's see. AC Wraith has posted his current favorite Carol of the Bells. It is from, well, I don't know because it's put me in something. What is this? I don't know what it's from. Anyway, there's a link there for you to see it. Carol of the Bells rock cover by Halison, featuring Sershin and Zerfskaya, which I'm sure I'm mispronouncing and butchering, but then again, when do I ever pronounce correctly names? Ghosts of Tsushima. And acetaminophen, which is not what it's called, but I have been calling it that way for a long time. I don't know why. So what have you been playing, sir?
It's been nothing but Cyberpunk 2077 this week.
I need to put in for a refund. Or I think a swap is what I want to do. Just give me the PC copy. I may put in for a refund on that. No, I can't put in for a refund. If I put in for a refund on that, it's going to throw off the entire. So I bought that as part of a. First off, there's a couple of things that come with it. When I bought Cyberpunk for Xbox, I got a steelbook with it.
Right.
So if I refund that or return it, I got to give them the steelbook back. If I do a swap, none of this changes. But if I do a return, I got to give them the steelbook back. Otherwise, the price of the steelbook, which is like, I think, a $20 value, maybe less, will come out of the, you know, that I will not get back.
Yeah.
Because I pre-ordered it, I'm getting, and it was one of the special games you could do that with, I'm getting a $10 rewards certificate for Best Buy. So I'm getting $10 back that'll go into the rewards. I'll lose that if I do a refund. If I do a swap, I won't. The other thing is that I bought it as part of a buy two, get one free deal. So again, if I return it, then I lose the $10 reward. I lose the steelbook, which at this point I don't care. It throws off that whole deal of buy two, get one free. Or was it buy? Yeah. Yeah, it was buy two, get one free. So really all I want to do is do a swap. So that's all. Oh, Lethal Migraine's here. that's all I really want to do is just do a swap out. That's it. So it does run very well on PC from what I've heard. They really should have delayed the console version instead or pushed it back again, you know? At this point, you've pushed it back, you've pushed it back. Even a few weeks before it was supposed to release back early November, you pushed it back again. You should have pushed it back longer that time or at least come back out and said, look, we're not making this. It's got to go back even further. I mean,
it should have been it should have been middle of 2021.
Yeah.
The way this game is performing on the
or whenever they PS4. Got it done.
I mean, or just whenever it was done, But I would have said middle of 2021.
Could have also they could have done exactly what Lethal's saying, just, you know, PC here. It runs on PC, here you go. You know. We got to hold off on the console versions.
Yeah.
Cuz it's not ready. They have gone, we got a whole thing about it. You know, there is, I would say 90% of all the news articles that I posted in this thing were all Cyberpunk related. Because there was so much stuff happening day by day this week that has really tanked the stock value. And I don't mean the stock value as far as the actual stock value. I mean, just the stock value that, the public held for the company. It's really driven that down. Which again goes to show you that the majority of people playing video games right now are console players, but it's always been that way. If the majority of people playing PC or playing this game were PC players, you wouldn't have heard as much, I don't think, but the majority of people who play are console players, and they're the ones having the problem with it. So, yeah. And I don't want to say it's a shame for them, because I feel like it is all on them. They put people through crunch and still got a crap game out of it. As far as, and again, I'm only speaking to the console side of things, mm-hmm. but they put in the crunch on their employees, still put out a crap game. And I say crap in the sense that it's bug
unfinished.
It's buggy. It's horribly run. And yeah, so. Yeah, the actual stock value of the company was down, but I have no idea if that's changed for them. Likely, as more and more this comes about, where more... Look, they got delisted from Sony. Sony took them off the store.
Yeah, took it off the store.
Yeah, Sony took it off the store so nobody could continue to buy it. And, you know, finally folded and said, sure, we'll give you refunds. Microsoft said, okay, fine, we'll give you refunds too. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were holding back on that, mainly because I think they were told by CDPR that, hey, look, we're patching this thing. It's going to get fixed.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to patch it and keep
patch came out.
Spitting out updates.
Patch came out yesterday for me.
Oh, there'll be more.
1.05, yeah.
There'll be more. Are you running into a lot of bugs playing this on your PS4? Are you running into a lot of issues?
Yeah, there's plenty of issues on the game. Let's see. Going off the top of my head, let's see. My settings almost never save when I go between
that's gotta
between
be
sessions. Yeah, like... I don't know if most folks do. Probably most folks do this, but when it comes to first person view, I'm always in inverted Y axis, you know. But every time I start a new session, it's back in default. Everything's back in default when I do it. And there's no way for me to save it. I have to reset it more often than not every time I start playing the game again. You know, graphical glitches, hiccups here and there. Like I said last time, overlapping dialogue between jobs and missions. I mean, I'm trying to go through a lot of side missions right now. The main story, I haven't played the main story in a minute because there's so many side options I got to do. Mm-hmm. That, and it levels me up and I get money and supplies and everything like that for it. Let's see. The driving, thank goodness for fast travel, because the driving is terrible in this game. I tap the brakes and I'm doing 360 spins on the road somewhere. That's the type of things I'm going
I don't necessarily
through,
so. Know that that's a bug.
or just bad design. Maybe it's just me.
Your settings not saving, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Destiny ran into this problem a few times. There mm-hmm. was something, and it wasn't the entire settings. It was, I think, just a screen setting, mm-hmm. which was annoying. Every time you logged in, it would switch to, like, full screen instead of, you know, window mode. Yeah.
Window mode, yeah.
And so, yeah, you had to change that every time, and that lasted for maybe a week before they got that corrected. And I mean, that was minimal.
Mm-hmm.
That was completely minimal. Everything else stayed exactly the way it was. And I'm speaking strictly from PC on this. I'm sure in console it would be worse, but, but yeah, so you've run into bugs.
Yeah. And the crashes always come in the middle of every time the game crashed, it was in the middle of dialogue that I was getting for, the mission. Like
how many crashes have you sustained?
Six.
Whoa.
I've had six reports of...
over the period of how long since you've been
since
playing?
Since I played the game.
Okay.
And I've sent every report I've sent game crash during mission dialogue, in parentheses, first time, parentheses, yeah. Second time, and I've got up to six right now. So...
Wow, look at that. December 9th, CDPR stock closed at $27.68 a share. Yesterday, it closed at $18.50 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's going. I figured it would after everything that was coming out. I'm sure people were jumping.
Outcry, man. That makes people.
I'm sure
a little
people
nervous,
were
so,
jumping
yeah.
ship on that thing because it was not good for them.
Yeah.
And I'm eager to play it, but you know what? I'll flip over. I think it's it's becoming closer and closer. I'm getting more and more updates about the video cards being in stock. There was one today that was in stock, but it was used. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't willing to take the chance on that. It was cheaper. It was under retail, but
used.
But it was still used, and I was just like, nah.
Used, not refurbished.
Yeah, it was Amazon Warehouse, which I think is actually, you know, legit and okay to buy from.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, what am I getting with this thing? I don't know.
What has this thing been through?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, you know, Cyberpunk to me feels like Fallout 4 with more glitches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty essentially the same game. I mean, wasteland, dystopian future. main mission, side missions, things like that, exploring, leveling up, getting supplies, doing this, doing that, but it's got a heck of a lot more glitches. But when Bethesda does, it's got a little, that's part of its charm. This one, it's a mess.
It's a mess. This is a highly anticipated game. I mean, I understand Fallout had its issues with 76, but then again, they started a game that almost nobody wanted to play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 76, even the premise of the game was something that nobody in Fallout, or no fan of Fallout that I know of, was interested in.
Yeah, I mean, the game
revolved around... This is not where we wanted to go with the game, so regardless.
Yeah, the game revolved around you being the lone wanderer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so by yourself and surviving the wastes. My only hope right at this point is... I think of No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Because that had a horrible launch when it first came out, right? But given time, and they kept patching and working on it over the months and months, and it, from what I gathered, it turned out pretty decent in the end, right?
Yeah,
or
but No Man's...
much better.
No Man's Sky wasn't a... Oh, God, there's that stupid pizza again.
It's Saturday, and there's football on TV.
Actually, no, it's basketball this time.
Okay, it's Saturday, and there's
now
sports on TV.
Now they're pouring the sauce on top of it.
They poured sauce the last time, Scott.
I don't remember. I didn't pay attention to the sauce. It was just the sausage and pickles, man.
The spicy cheese sauce?
I didn't pay attention to it.
That was their last time.
I didn't pay attention to it.
You said it last time.
I was, well, then I don't remember it. But then I just, yes, anyway.
Okay.
So the thing with No Man's Sky, sorry, is that... it wasn't necessarily buggy when it came out. There weren't a lot of problems with it. It was just lacking a lot of what...
There's a lot of stuff missing.
There was promised, you mm-hmm. know? Dude was talking just promise. This is what we're going to have. You're going to be able to do all of these things, and you were not able to do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that had to get... but they eventually came around and fixed all that and improved things, and that's great. This, I don't know. This one doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel that way. Also, Hello Games was and probably still is, I would say smaller than CD Projekt Red, which is the developers of Cyberpunk. And I mean, CDPR has always had issues whenever they've launched a game. Witcher has had issues. All three of them, I think, had problems
mm-hmm.
with their launch, but never on this scale.
Yeah.
Never on this scale. Never seen it this bad, at least for them.
Yeah.
And I hate that for all the people that put in all of that time. The crunch and everything else. The people who are like, this is my job and I'm working on this game and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not... Yeah. I don't.
Lethal says in the chat room, says Sea of Thieves had pretty much the same thing. It launched as hot trash, but it's good now. As a player base.
And it's weird, you know, played Sea of Thieves when it launched. And we kind of, it was me and James and Matt, and I think Jeremy also, because we were able to play, I was able to play on my Xbox, they were able to play on their PC, and we were able to play together.
Yeah.
And so we put some time into that game for a few nights.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other guys put in more nights than others and that sort of thing. But I put a few nights into it. We dealt with whatever the bugs were. We were just kind of getting our sea legs, I guess.
Yeah.
And getting acquainted with the game. But really, we had not really any problem with it. Yeah, there were some bugs, and we thought, well, this thing holds potential.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now it's come around, and it seems to be a mainstay.
Yeah.
For Microsoft and what they're doing. I don't know if Matt's ever coming back. You know, I haven't talked to him. I should ask. Find out. Mm-hmm. And find out if he is ever coming back. I don't know. I would like to think so, but you know what? I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to James in a while, and you and I were just talking about that, I think, last week. Haven't talked to James in a while. The last time I talked to James was when I had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the last time I spoke to Matt was when I had COVID as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because everybody was checking in on me.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, good. So... I think that was the last time I spoke to any of them, but I'd like to get him back in here. Love to get Nathan's a husband and a father now.
Yep.
That's how long it's been since we've had Nathan on. he became a husband and then he became a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah.
By the way, if any of you are listening, Matt, James is not listening. Matt, if you're listening, if you happen to turn on the radio and, you know, you're just like, hey, let me check in on the guys. Or Nathan, if you're doing the same, again, I doubt it, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you and find out what's going on. Feel free to stop by and join us on the show. Mm-hmm. We can make that happen, too. Mm-hmm. Anything else you played?
Yeah, just that. Just Cyberpunk. But yeah, in the end, though, I'm thinking this isn't something that CD Projekt Red can't recover from. I mean, there's already the examples in the chat room about games that had bad launches but eventually worked itself out.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I'm thinking this game will go the same route. It'll be patched to fruition.
Yeah.
It'll be working fine.
It will.
Yep.
It'll get there. I mean, it's working fine on PC, and I'm interested to see what the updates for the next-gen consoles will be. If that will smooth things out or make things worse, I don't know.
Well, make your mistakes now, and you'll know what's coming. So,
well, see, that's the interesting thing. They released Xbox One and PS4, but they don't have the upgrades for PS5 and Xbox Series X yet. They're holding off on those because those are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's your answer. You're holding off because it's not ready. Why not do the same thing? Yeah. There is precedent of you releasing on other systems before you release on other systems.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't release on the next gen consoles, you released on the previous gen consoles. With the promise that everybody who is on there and upgrades to a next gen will get the upgrade for free. You don't have to buy the game again.
Right.
So it would be there's precedent for it. There it can be done, so why not just do it?
Mm-hmm.
So as for me and what I have played, it has been Destiny 2. I may run the raid tonight. I don't know. I've listed my name on there for the guys, and God, I can't wait till we get crossplay so we can get you in on this stuff. But I've listed my name on the raid team there, and but I think I'm an alternate, so because I didn't get in quick enough, so I think I'm an alternate. So if somebody backs out, then I'll come in. I think they need like two more people to run the raid before, and then we can actually run two teams instead of running one. But either way, I might get to it tonight. I might not. But I have been playing Destiny. It's the dawning, and so you got to bake a bunch of cookies and send them to the vendors and do all this stuff, and it's fine. I've hit the level cap as far as that, so now all I have to do are the pinnacle things, which is like run three strikes, play three matches of Crucible, play three matches of Gambit, and run. You know, there's far fewer things to do to get pinnacle stuff than there was to just raise my level up before I hit the cap. And now it's like, now I got to climb 10 levels to hit the pinnacle cap. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Because all of your pieces of gear and armor have to be the... So, like, I'm 1250 now.
Yeah.
So, in order for me to go beyond that, all of my pieces of armor have to be 1251, and so does my gear has to be 1251 before I can move to 1252. Then all of that has to be before I can move to 1253, 1254, you know, that sort of thing. 55. So, you've got to fill, what is that? Head, arm, chest, legs, class. That's 5, 6, 7, 8. You got to fill 8 slots with that same number of gear or higher in order to advance in the pinnacle run. So, which is fine. It's I am not near as interested in getting to the pinnacle cap as I was into getting just to the soft cap. Mm-hmm. So, or the hard cap of 1250, which is where I'm at.
It's
so
close enough, right?
It is. It's close enough, and it'll work, you know, running through. I can it allows me to compete in raids.
Yeah.
It allows me to compete in higher tier things.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the four digits, I mean, what does one level really matter?
Doesn't. Well, it does when you're looking for a group. When you're looking for a group and a group is like, well, you need to be 1260 plus or, you know, 1260 or higher.
Well,
and you're at 1259, they'd probably be okay with it. But I still wouldn't jump in there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would still like, well, I'm not there, so I'm not going to do that. Okay. You know? But we're running with our guys, and so I'm okay. They're going to teach me how to do it.
I just meant performance wise, like putting damage you put out and how much you can take. And
no.
Like that.
Not much at all.
Yeah.
A very insignificant difference.
Mm-hmm.
Insignificant difference. So what else did I play? I played, I played a little, and I mean a little bit more of Assassin's Creed. There's a lot of talky talk at the beginning of that game. A lot of chat. Very little gameplay. Like there is a thing at the beginning because you're kind of busting out, you're breaking free from your captors, and then you get to your home base type thing, and that's where a lot of exposition has to come in and talk to you about things, because they got to teach you, like, here's how you upgrade your weapons, here's how you play this little mini game over here, here's how you ride a horse, here's how you, you know, access your quest line and all this other stuff. It's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't even left my home base. My brother came back, talked to him. His two friends, one of them gave me the Assassin's Blade, which, oddly enough, she wears it, or he wears it, your main character, depending on how you go. They wear the hidden blade above on this side rather than here because of that whole little finger thing, which is something that they had to, The whole Assassin's lore, for those of you who don't know, they cut the middle finger off. I say the middle, the ring finger off, because the hidden blade goes right through there. Mm. And it's also a sign of whatever that was, a commitment to the creed, to the brotherhood or something like that. It all happened in Assassin's Creed 2 and then Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. They kind of went into that whole lore. So anyway, which I thought was interesting, because when you first are introduced to these guys, I was like, I don't trust them. And then there was a shot at a little dinner gathering thing that night. There was a shot of them standing together talking, and you could easily see, like, oh, wait, they're wearing the robes. Okay, I know who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying they're still going to turn, or they're not going to turn on me or anything like that. I don't know. But yeah, I was like, assassins, okay. So this is how it's all getting intertwined.
Yeah.
So, I enjoy. Lethal Magus says, I enjoy history. I want to like Assassin's Creed, so I always wait until it's dirt cheap before I buy it. None of them have grabbed me. I heard Origins, obviously, I don't know if that's the place to start, but AC Origins with their, I don't know if it's called history mode or whatever it is, where they kind of give you some commentary and let you walk around Egypt, and they give you these, you know, kind of a, you know, information about what you're seeing, and all the different historical sites and historic things that they've got. So Thar66 says, I'm close to 100 hours in it. The game is huge and I love it. So, well, I'm looking forward to really putting in, not, I don't know about that much time, but I am looking forward into having this world expand for me. So far it hasn't, but that's because I am so soon into the game. So that's why. So, Assassin's Creed and Destiny 2 and a little bit of Animal Crossing. Girlfriend's got the whole, she's got that down. She's got the Animal Crossing thing down. I dropped off a bunch of money at her house. so she could pay for all of those home improvements that have to come in. It's a lot of money to pay for those home improvements. So yeah, and so, you know, I'm seeing they've got the snow on the ground, and you can catch snowflakes, and you can make snowmen, and you can shake trees, and ornaments will come down, and you can collect those and make things with them, and it's, you know, a lot of neat stuff going on with Animal Crossing. So the other game I wanted to get her acquainted with, because right now she's learned, you know, she's learned the controller of the Nintendo Switch. Which is fine. However, Animal Crossing is kind of limited in what you can learn with a controller. The camera is set. You don't have to move the camera around. You just go, you know, it's kind of a third-person top-down type, you know, maneuverability. Yeah. So there's no reason to move a camera. I gave her I logged into Destiny on Xbox just to see the new upgrades that they had given for the Series X and HD, and it looks beautiful, by the way. And so I found I put her in the tower, and that's still third person. I said, okay, here's your controller. Now try and, you know, move around, that sort of thing. Because you have to get accustomed to moving the camera with one thumbstick and then moving yourself with another thumbstick, so you're not strafing back and forth and, you know, having a horrible time walking, that sort of thing. So I think, to get her acclimated with first-person controls, which, again, will be brand new, I think I was trying to think of what would be an easy game to deal with first-person controls. Let's not use combat. Let's not put combat in there whatsoever. So I was thinking something like Gone Home. I don't know if you played Gone Home.
Mm-mm.
There is absolutely no combat. It is strictly you, first person, exploring a house.
Firewatch?
Firewatch might be all right. Yeah, Firewatch might be okay, but I've only got that on PC. I don't think that's come up in any kind of the freebies. But I know Gone Home has, because I think I've got that on PlayStation.
Yeah. He said no combat, but there's plenty of horror, first person.
Right. She was really interested in PT. I showed her PT.
Oh, okay.
And she was really interested in that. And I was like, no, I don't have that. I'm sorry. Only for the fact that they removed it from all the consoles unless you would down.
They did.
Yeah. Which I actually never explained that to her, but there was a legal battle between the creator of that game and the publisher of that game. And I think they lost the legal battle, so they pulled it, or maybe they won it and they still... Well, he quit.
Yeah.
And so I think they had to pull it, and people saved it on their hard drive and then made backups or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They did not update their PlayStation because they would lose that game.
Right.
Check eBay. Go to eBay and type in PlayStation 4 with PT and see what you get.
Let's see.
This has me...
PS4.
PT.
PT.
Yeah. Is there listings?
Let's see, the first one says jailbreak homebrew exploit this number with PT Silent Hills. That's $400.
Yeah.
Yeah. PT $700. PT $1,000.
Yeah, of course.
From Russia.
Of course.
$950. $850. $730. Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. I knew it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so that's all I've played as well, and yeah. Ooh, that's not bad. A Drunk Degenerates mentions the Stanley Parable. That would be good. The Witness would possibly be good to a point, only for the fact that I didn't get through that game without a guide. Not saying that that means anything, but I like puzzle games. And The Witness, though, that made some parts of that actually physically made me ill because I was tired of seeing the lines, the mazes, because every puzzle in that game is a maze. I say it's a maze. It's go from one point on the square and then move it to a finish point on the square. It's not necessarily a maze, but there's only so many ways you can make it happen and make it work. And it just did a number on me after a while. To the point that I broke down and said, you know, I'm walking through this. I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't need this anymore. Which kind of sucked because when I would see solutions, I was like, well, I was right there.
Yeah.
I was right there. Witness or Superliminal. Superliminal. Is rather new. It's one I played at PAX and I really, really enjoyed it. So, Portal might be a good one.
There's no motion, illness things with that game, is it?
Motion things?
Yeah. I mean, you know, dropping through portals and...
You mean motion sickness?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea if she's given motion sickness on that yet. I have no clue. But Portal might be a good one. I mean, There's not really combat. There is, but there's not. But for the most part, that's not a bad game to start with. So, anyway, we got more to do. We got more to say. A lot of it's all about Cyberpunk. But it is our Christmas episode. We are going to replay this show next weekend, Saturday the 26th. We're going to take a break here. We've got music. There's a few songs that I picked out. The open was a song that I didn't go through and try and find new music, with the exception of one track, just because I wanted to see if there was anything new there, and there was. But so we sat down last night, and she listened to a bunch of stuff, and then she picked, I think she picked about four or five songs. And the opening was one that she liked and said, use that. Mm-hmm. And so I used that as the opening. This was another one that she enjoyed. It comes from Wario World, and it's called Shivering Mountains. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Yoshi's Woolly World. I don't know what the track is. It says a little, and then there's more, but it gets cut off. So, but yeah, that's from Yoshi's Woolly World. Welcome back to our show, and we have got Chris on the line. We're going to talk to Chris. He's been waiting patiently. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you?
So, RJ, you've been enjoying Cyberpunk
so far. Everything except the glitches.
I mean, it's still fun, and if you can just put up with that kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah, the story is what's keeping me going through everything that's going on. Pretty interesting side stories I've been through so far, as opposed to the main story. Helping out characters so far, I think the latest I've got through is Judy Panam and River Ward, the cop. I've done missions for those three, and got a little few gigs here and there with other residents of Night City. So I've been going through all that and having a pretty good time with that. It's just the glitches that are irritating, but not to the point where I'm just going to give up the game altogether. Like I said earlier, it's like Fallout, but more glitches. And the glitches I can deal with for the most part.
Yeah. I'm eventually going to get it. I'm thinking I'm going to wait till they wind out everything and then eventually release, you know, next generation, maybe PlayStation 5 version or a collector's edition for that system and all, but not. I was really interested, but I got so much I'm already playing. I'll just wait and see. But since this has all happened, I'm gonna just especially put it off for a while.
Yeah. Smart move to do, really.
Yeah, no rush on that. Yeah.
Smart move to do on that is to hold off. So, and really, I mean, even if I do the reason I'm doing this, if I didn't have all that stuff that was attached to my purchase, I would simply just return it and get a refund and just wait. For either the next gens, or if I got a card, pick it up on PC. Even if I waited until the next gen upgrade, I would still wait and see what people were saying about it, especially after this. But yeah, if I get a card, I'll just grab a copy of it on PC, or you know, use the one that I already have. So, yeah, I kind of painted myself into a corner when I bought that game. Like, yeah. Ooh, I can't go back. Yeah. So, or I can, but I lose everything else when I do that. So, anyway, what else have you got? Well, you actually haven't played Cyberpunk.
I'm kind of interested. I just, one of those, I'm like, yeah, it sounds interesting. I just didn't think too much about it. I've been happy and playing what I've been currently playing. Of course, I've got zonked into Fallout 4 again with the, you know, since I got it free again, the digital version. So I've been enjoying that the whole time. I hadn't played nothing else. Still been enjoying that.
Yeah.
But you were talking about your girlfriend, you know, getting her into the things. Like, what other types of games or genres does she seem to
Well,
like?
It's not that. This is kind of the first venture into gaming. So, or at least this sort of stuff that we're doing. So it's more getting the, you know, getting the bearings of a controller like this is basically what it, so, you know, taking small steps first.
Yeah.
There's like other kind of different genres or other things.
Oh no, obviously, yeah. I mean, once we get there, it's like, here, find what you like, and you know, we'll play it, that sort of thing. But starting off right now, it's just got to learn the basics of movement.
Yeah.
Try and remember the first time you were using thumbsticks to move in a first person mode. I mean, I don't know where you got to go back to remember that, but it's
higher on the PlayStation 1. I think that's the first time I ever remember when, you know, when it, that kind of first hit the market, you know, when they first evolved to that state.
Well, I remember the N64 with their
64 with that weird placing in the center of the thing.
Yeah.
Which I never used. I've tried to avoid
using that. But
they wanted
you to hold it like that.
Yeah.
Instead of like this, they wanted to hold you, you know, hold it like that.
Well, the first time I got comfortable on the analog was really Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Dreamcast was the first one I got comfortable with analog with, and then everything else came into place. And then when I tried that, N64 with the one in the dead center, I was like, no, I can remember
when I first tried to use the, it wasn't called DualShock, it was called something else.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't DualSense either, but it was something else that was that, you know, had to do with the sticks. And so I can remember playing PlayStation games that gave you the option, you can use this or you can use the thumb pad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never went to the sticks. I was like, I know my thumb pad and my thumb pad.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Halo.
Yeah.
That really, I think, probably introduced a lot of people to that whole situation, because that was it. That was the only way you could move.
Yeah, they may have gotten that reputation of Xbox when their control of the placement of the analog stick as opposed to D-pad, because it like switched on the PlayStation and the Xbox. Like, theirs were more geared for first person than anything else, and then the PlayStation's analog setup was better for anything else. But yeah, I remember
that. We've been kind of thinking something simple and fun, just no push to kind of get her used to the controller and kind of get a feel for it, huh?
Yeah, the type of game where you don't have to think about where the controls are. Just you know,
yeah.
It comes
second
nature.
Another thing I can think of is maybe some of these adventure games where it's up to you if you want to really get into any of it or not, or you know, you can like pace yourself. Maybe like Fallout or Skyrim. You know, that would kind of be a little bit of a push, but it's kind of up to you. You know, how much you want to do.
Yeah, well, again, getting down to the controller basics first. Because seriously, you take the thumbsticks, you put them in the hands of somebody who has never had any experience with that, and say, okay, here's a game, go play it. And it's really, really tough to figure out movement in that way. I mean, I don't want to say we take it for granted.
Yeah,
we don't. We just had a long time using it to where we know how to use it. We've understand how the movement works. So
something like Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh, which one's that one?
That's the top down shooter.
Is that the one you played over at the bar
it was a top down shooter. The one stick controls where you go and the other stick controls what
where
direction the bullets go at.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
I thought about Geometry Wars.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because that's nice little shooter. It's got some great music, and then you just, you know, it's a
Yeah, I remember seeing that one too, RJ. It's similar to the Smash TV series.
Smash TV, Robotron 2084, things like that. Yeah, that type.
Yep.
Two sticks working independently of each other, but you got to use them in tandem to succeed well. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd really help with coordination if he thought
all right,
that was
Yeah, because I'm still not good at those games on some of those
games. Yeah, I'm not really good at those either. I'm used to the standard ones that we all play and that we're fascinated with, but, you know, they're unique, but you know they're different.
Yeah, I was I went through my Game Pass on Xbox, and I was just kind of scrolling through, being like, "Hey, what do we got good here?" I was looking for Gone Home. I've got it on the PS4, 5, I've got it there, but I was seeing if I had it on the Xbox since I had that pulled up, and it wasn't there in the library list. Oh. But there was a bunch of other stuff, and so I was looking through it.
Get her a Pac-Man Championship Edition.
No, play on analog. She's seen me play that.
Or maybe something fun that you could both play together and both have fun, like a multiplayer game. Maybe like something like Borderlands or something.
Again, got to learn the music. They got to learn the movement first.
Yeah.
Got to learn how to move with the controller.
So basically something with, something without combat that just really focuses on just control more than anything else.
And then we'll get to
we'll get down
to the shooting and the combat and that sort of stuff using triggers, using figuring. And I'm not trying, and I hope I'm not trying to embarrass her at all. But I mean, we started with what's that game on PS5, Chris? Astro's Playroom.
The bundle game.
Yeah, and it's a nice little platformer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept of, you know, pressing the button to jump and moving forward while doing that, was rusty for, you know, for her to get down. She did get it down, but then the double jump was an issue, or the rocket pack or whatever
is
in the back.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So that's why I was like, well, let's back off of this. Let's move over into Animal Crossing. She'd see me play it all the time. That's why we moved into Animal Crossing. And then from there, going to move into Gone Home to get that first person. And then from there, you know, go wherever else, get that stuff down, and then, you know, put her on a platform, put her on Mario, you know, anything like that. So anyway, we appreciate you calling in, Chris, and I hope you have a great Christmas.
All right. Same to y'all. And I guess we'll probably hear from y'all after a couple weeks after.
Well, it'll be in the new year, because there won't be another Saturday after next one until 2021.
The second is the day after New Year, so it'll probably be the next weekend after that, huh?
That's right, Chris. We'll see you next year.
Well, y'all have fun, and hope she enjoys whatever y'all can get
into.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Thanks,
Chris. Well, y'all have a good one. When y'all, everybody listen, I hope y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thank you much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. So what was wrong with Pac-Man? You said she saw you play Pac-Man Championship Edition, and what happened? It was like, what, too fast?
Well, because, look, anybody I show Pac-Man Championship Edition to who don't know what that is, their idea of Pac-Man is...
blown out the water.
Is the old Pac-Man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This new Pac-Man, what is this? You know? And...
faster.
It's faster, it's more exciting, I like my Pac-Man Championship Edition, but it's, you know, it's a lot of,
Now, what I'm saying is that's a game that will force you to not have to think about controls on that one, because you got to make your decisions quickly in terms of which way you want to go with Pac-Man across the maze.
Yeah. Well, follow the dots.
Yeah, follow the dots.
Basically, is what that is.
I'll figure it out.
We will.
And given time, it'll be second nature to her.
Basically, it's just giving it time. That's exactly what it is. I'm looking here to see how much time we actually have. And also checking, I didn't get to check all these new things that have appeared. I'm going to look through these during the break. When we come back, we will hit the news, because we haven't touched on any of it. And there's really not much, unless you want to talk about Cyberpunk. There's a whole lot to talk about with Cyberpunk. They had a pretty bad week. And we'll go down that, and it's not to say that I don't want to say they deserve that or anything like that. It's just that, well, they released a game that wasn't ready to be released.
Yeah.
And I think they know they released that. Mm-hmm. And by them, I mean, I know for sure the people who crunched and developed and everything else, they knew what was going out there. The executives is the problem. The people that said, yeah, we know it's bad, but we're still going to release it. You know, that's not in the devs' hands. The devs should be given the time that it needs to make the game run.
Yeah.
And the executives are, nope, we're going to launch here, you know, make it happen. And if it doesn't, we're launching anyway. That's the problem. And so it really is a bad situation, because I look at all these things and I'm trying to find somebody to be mad at. And then I wonder, why am I trying to find somebody to be mad at it here? Why am I trying to find somebody to put blame on? I can't put it on the developers, because they were contracted. They also were there. A lot of them, from what we know about stuff, knew that there was problems and voiced those issues. But those were, they fell on deaf ears. They were not going to do that. They were deadlines to meet, and they were going to meet them regardless. And that falls on whoever those people are. I don't think it falls on the developers that put in the crunch and the time and everything else. It was still not enough time, which is a little sad to think about, that they put in all that effort and still got a broken game released, you know? Anyway. We're going to be back. We've got music here from, this is the only one that is brand new. It's the only one I actually went out and searched because I was wondering if there was anything new, and it is. This comes from Destiny 2. It is music from The Dawning. There's like three different tracks from The Dawning, which is their holiday event, their Christmas event. And I guess this is this year's music. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's from last year. I don't know. There's three different themes I found, and this one was uploaded 4 days ago, which told me that, okay, probably from this year's Dawning. I don't know. We'll be back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Fable. This is apparently the music played at Hook Coast. Probably nothing that is Christmas. It elicits a little bit of a Christmas feel, but I haven't played this part of the, I haven't played the game or been over there to know if there is any kind of
walking down the streets of London on during snow. That's what I'll be thinking.
Oh, it gives me
right
a
now.
Massive Edward Scissorhands vibe.
Yeah.
So, you know, Elfman-esque is what I get out of it. But that's what that's from. Oh, we have another caller. Hey, Josh.
Hey there.
Drunk Degenerates on the line here. Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Doing fine.
We can barely hear you. It sounds like you're in a can of some sort.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I can barely make out what you're saying there. Are you on like a speaker or is it a headset or something or? Oh man, it's really garbled up, man. Yeah, I can barely make out the words. Try again.
Okay.
Okay, I knew you say okay. I heard that. Let's see. Let's see. Just go ahead. What have you been what have you been up to? What's been going on?
Well, is it better now?
That is better.
Much better.
That is much better.
There we go.
Oh, that's much better.
It was picking up the wrong mic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that'll do it. Mm-hmm. So, what's going on?
Well, I've been playing Cyberpunk.
You've been playing what?
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
On what?
On my PlayStation 5 with PS4 backwards compatibility.
Yeah, how's it been going for you?
Well, it crashes about once every 2 hours or so.
Wow. I remember having that issue. It was crashing a lot for me, but I just turned off all the graphical options when they stay there. It still crashes, but not as much as it used to. So one thing you might be able to do, just turn off all those graphic boosts in the options screen. It might help matters a little bit.
Yeah, it got better with the recent patches, but the newest one is causing some issues, so I didn't install that one yet.
Mm. What, the 1.05?
Yeah, I think that's the new one.
Yeah, that's the one that got me yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm avoiding that one because I think that's the one where the save game file size, when it gets too big, corrupts the save game.
Oh,
goodness. Yep. I mean,
that's a bad thing because there's a whole bunch of saves that comes with this game. Like I mentioned last week, Scott, it'll like autosave or something like almost every 5 to 10 minutes. So
right.
by the time I get to like save my game, there's like 15 different files sitting in my saves.
But
slot.
You were lucky that happened.
Yeah, that means good that happened because the thing crashes all the time. So you're not too far from the progress you've made in the game with that setup.
Yeah, that's better, but like I said, with the new issue that I've been reading about with the file size and the game file corrupting, that kind of reminds me of Skyrim back on the PlayStation 3. That had a similar issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wait, so there's a thing, Thar66 posted that there might be a lawsuit here. Cyberpunk is supposed to be the biggest video game of the year. What happened? There's a whole article here. I'm trying to find the part where...
Trying to think if there's a lawsuit from Sony or Microsoft.
So many they overwhelmed Sony's customer service representative, even briefly took down one of its corporate sites. In response, Sony and Microsoft said they weren't awful. Sony even pulled the title. Cyberpunk's rollout is one of the most visible disasters in the history of video games, a high-profile flameout in the midst of the holiday shopping season by a studio widely considered an industry darling. It shows the pitfalls of gaming studio or shows the pitfalls gaming studios can face when building so-called AAA games, titles backed by years of development and hundreds of millions of dollars. But it's also a tale that insiders said they saw coming for months based on CD Projekt Red's history of game development and warning signs that the game might not live up to its sky-high expectations. So it goes in here and goes into this backstory of CDPR, Witcher series, marketing of the game, Keanu Reeves being cast as a character in the game. Developers were increasingly concerned with some of the grand promises being made by management on the promotional marketing tour. Far into the game's development, former employees said the hyper-customizable and endlessly explorable world being sold to players was nowhere close to manifesting. By 2019, chatter began to circulate in Polish game development circles that CD Projekt Red was way behind schedule with the game, even with a release date set for the following April. Let's see. Somebody who was able to, where people can rate their previous employers, current and former workers at CD Projekt Red, said there was chaos behind the scenes. The owners treat the company as a machine to earn money and do not see employees as people, but more like data in the table. One former employee wrote on the site, goes into delay work, typically game developers for months, blah, 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 early reviews. I don't mind delays. You can delay a game fine. It's whatever. What's the thing? It's one of the guys from Nintendo says, and I don't think it's Miyamoto. I think it was one of the other guys at Nintendo. Whatever. Something about the, you know, a bad game is released whatever. They release a bad game and it's forever, you know, or something like that. I can't remember what it's. I can't remember what the thing was. There's some line.
Yeah,
that
I know what you mean, but it's on the tip of my tongue as well.
Let's see. Okay, then all the problems when the game released.
No, that was Miyamoto.
Yeah.
A delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is bad forever.
Yeah. The immediate future looks dark for Cyberpunk's makers, perhaps even darker than the future they built in Night City. Refund requests are pouring in by the thousands. Lawyers and investors in Warsaw are circling the situation, contemplating a class action lawsuit against the company for what one attorney described as potential criminal misrepresentation in order to receive financial benefits. Many gamers are swearing off playing Cyberpunk entirely until the company fixes all of the problems. The coming weeks will determine whether CD Projekt Red can make good on a promise it made back in 2017 when players wondered whether the title would ever come out. Worry not, the company tweeted, assuring fans that Cyberpunk 2077 would be huge and story-driven. No hidden catch. You get what you pay for. I remember them saying it'll be ready when it's ready, was their motto.
Yeah.
And of course, that is not.
Someone didn't see it. Someone didn't see it that way.
I mean, obviously, in the PC, it's doing what it's doing, and it's fine. So, but it's that console thing, man.
Yeah. So the PC is most stable. Console, not so much.
Yeah. Seemingly, I mean, I don't know.
I said most stable.
Right.
I mean, most stable on the PC.
Yeah. So
based on your setup, anyway.
Yeah, based on what you got to run it with. Mm-hmm. What else going on with you, Josh?
Not too much. I managed to get the latest COD for $5 because there was a pricing error on the PlayStation Store.
Nice.
So that was nice.
Very nice. Even though it's COD, it's a deal, you know. Because I'm looking at Epic Game Store. They've got their deals going on. They've got, obviously they're giving away free games, by the way. Epic Games Store, if you have it on your PC, they're giving away a free game a day now. They started with City Skylines on Thursday and then gave away, what was yesterday? Yesterday was Oddworld, the remake, reboot, whatever, New
Abe's
and Tasty.
Odyssey.
No, what New Abe's Odyssey was New
okay.
and Tasty.
New and Tasty, okay.
Which is kind of a upgrade of Abe's Odyssey type okay. thing. And then today is The Long Dark that they're giving away. So somebody released a leak, and so far the leak has been spot on with everything. So, but yeah, there's that. And then, of course, they got that $10 voucher. As soon as you redeem one of the free games, you get a $10 voucher. If you can use that $10 voucher on any game that is like $15 or higher.
Yeah.
Anything above $15, you can use that $10 voucher on. And so, like, Disco Elysium is, I think, with the voucher is like $14, you know. And then when you buy a game with that $10 voucher, you get another $10 voucher to spend in the store of when they've already got some deals down. So Disco Elysium for $15 is really pretty good deal. I think it's like actually $14 it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So not a bad deal. And I'm looking around for some others as well.
Yeah.
Also, isn't Disco Elysium getting some kind of upgrade update for
it
free
is.
If you have the base game?
It is, but if you have the base game, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is getting that next year sometime. Mm-hmm. But if you get the base game, you're good. It'll upgrade for you absolutely free. So
very nice.
Very, very nice. What are you going to be playing over the holidays, man?
Pretty much more Cyberpunk, and I'm pretty much done with the main story. I'm basically wrapping up all the side stuff right now until I continue.
Really, on Cyberpunk? How much time have you put into it?
I think I'm sitting at somewhere around 30 or 40 hours with my save game.
Yeah, see, I'm at 37 right now, but my foray was like not letting too many side missions pile up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like get to a certain point until the main story got like danger was high or very high. Then I started doing side missions until it tapered off a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of back and forth between main missions and side missions. For that, for me, but yeah, if it's four, you're at 40 hours, right?
Yeah, somewhere in the around that.
Yeah, and I'm at like 37, going back and forth between main and side. So it may take a little bit because I'm at the point where I got to meet Nakamura. to go see what he wants. That's the last one I got left. But other than that, it's basically gonna be side missions till I get myself situated.
Yeah. There's one mission with Takemura that really irked me because I read in the trophy guide after the fact that you can totally miss a trophy because of that mission.
Yep.
And it's poorly, or rather not at all, said that you can miss it there.
Okay.
That's basically
just keep your eyes open in the mission with him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look out for stuff. I mean, there was some things in there. Brain dancing. There's a thing you call brain dancing. Basically, looking through the memories of other characters to find out clues and things like that. There was one in particular with the case I worked with River Ward, the cop. There was one brain dance that was said. It said it was vital to look at around. It was like his trying not to put too many spoilers out there, but it was the guy who was grooming children and capturing them. The farm boy.
Yeah.
That guy. There was a piece of information in the third video you had to watch, and it was like 1 minute in, and it was like this glaringly obvious thing you have to look at to get the clue that you needed to finish it out. And I'm looking all over the area for this thing, and I cannot find it. And I was wondering if you had run into issues like that with other brain dances that you had to go through in the game. A clue is sitting right there, and you're looking all over the room for it, and you can't find it to save your life.
Yeah, I had to look really hard in those brain dances and go back and forth in this section a few times, because usually you have this section, it's highlighted where you can find a clue, but it's sometimes only at the beginning or at the end or somewhere in the middle of that section. It's not for the whole section.
Yeah, because you can't go too far from the main person viewing, because it'll say you're going too far and it'll just cut out and reset everything. So you have to go right back to them again. So there's a limited area you can search in. So yeah, so I'll have to try that then. It just start at the very beginning of the hint and just incrementally go forward until I find that little thing there.
Brain dances sound kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff that you would never find through the perspective of the person you're looking through.
I remember a part of, and I gotta go, and I actually have to go back to Assassin's Creed 2 to actually enjoy any of this. But regardless of the story and everything else, my favorite part of Assassin's Creed 2 and my favorite part of Assassin's Creed so far was interacting with the glyphs that you would see in the world. You would interact with those, and they would take you to this riddle-type puzzle thing. And there were all kinds of different aspects of it where you would make the apple in the picture, or you would have to zoom over things and look for clues and stuff like that. It's fantastic. Loved every single bit of that. Mm-hmm. And they never went back to it, that I know of.
Okay.
They never went back to it. Yeah. I remember in Origins, I was in a pyramid at some point in Egypt, and I came across what looked like, it looked like very futuristic stuff that I was seeing, and I thought, ooh, this is nice. I like when they integrate this sort of, the first civilization that they talk about and everything else. I like when they incorporate that into the stuff that I'm doing. I don't care about sliding down the Great Pyramid some of the combat or stealth and stuff like that, which they seem to have completely eliminated in Assassin's Creed games lately, is the stealth. But yeah, I loved when they did that. So seeing that in there, I was like, ooh, this is a promise. I didn't play enough of Odyssey, and I haven't played enough of Valhalla to see what's there. Mm-hmm. Although I did like the opening of Valhalla, because there were some interesting little glitches and animus stuff, and I like that. But but yeah, that little aspect of it, actually, I don't know. I'm eager to play the game, but I just can't right now.
Yeah,
it's on my I've got it for the Xbox, but after everything that I've heard, I really don't want to play it there. So no point in me opening this up and starting to do that if I can get it swapped to PC. But if I get a PC copy, I still can't play it, because I don't have the card yet to really make it do anything. So I'm stuck. So anyway, well, Josh, we appreciate hearing from you, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you have a fantastic holiday.
To you guys as well.
All right, buddy. Yeah. We'll talk to you later. I'll see you on Discord and stuff.
Yep. Take care. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
If you want to get into touch with us on the show, give us a call, 334-272-9228. Let's see, we're talking about that. Ubisoft was giving away free stuff all week on their Uplay Connect or whatever it's called, their PC app for Ubisoft. Today, if you log in and claim today's giveaway, it's everything that they've given away so far. So in case you missed a day, you just click on it and you'll get everything else that you had. I think there was at least one game, Trials Rising, I think, was released, and then there were a bunch of different packs. There was some stuff for Valhalla. There was stuff for some little combat game that they've got. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, speaking of free stuff, I was trying to remember what? GOG account. What is that?
GOG.
GOG.
Good old games.
Okay, yeah.
Owned by CD Projekt Red, by the way.
Okay, yeah, because I keep seeing the notice every time I start the game, Cyberpunk, about free stuff you get through your GOG account.
Yep.
Playing this game, rewards or something like that. I just never.
You can do that. And they're doing giveaway. They're doing free game giveaways as well. Okay. Good Old Games is doing that also. Everybody's got their holiday sale going on. Steam has not started theirs, but I imagine it's probably kicking off this Tuesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. More than likely, it'll be this Tuesday. Steam used to be a really great place for sales. It's not so much.
Used to be events.
Yeah, it still is, but it used to be a real cool thing. They used to really gamify it. Because it was log in and see what's on sale today. And then they had their daily deals, and then they had their half daily deals. Like, this thing's only good for 6 hours, and then we're going to swap these out. Mm-hmm. So used to be a lot of fun to see what's going low. And,
it was like now, seeing those, like $35 and all of a sudden eight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like, how'd this happen? I need to jump on this quick. That's how your collection got.
Yeah,
That's how you got into triple digits.
Yeah,
in your library.
I remember Sleeping Dogs, way before. Like, you can find it for $5 now, no problem.
Steelbook, no less.
Yeah, but way before then, there was a price error during one of the Steam sales, and it was up for $5 for maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And I was able to
snatch a few copies. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I grabbed me a copy. Mm-hmm. So
those are good games too. Very good games.
Still haven't played. I own it, but I haven't played it.
I played a bit of it. I got a good little ways in there before I stopped and played something else.
Yeah.
I need to go back to it. It's just another one of the titles that I need to finish.
Oh, well, the Microsoft Store has Assassin's Creed bundle, Valhalla, Odyssey, and Origins for $64. All three games for $64 on the Microsoft Store. Not a bad idea. A 36-month Xbox Game Pass Ultimate via Xbox Live Gold Game Pass subconversion, whatever it is. Oh, it's valid for new subscribers only. $151 for 36 months of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Not a bad deal. I'm already good through 2023, I think. I'm looking up, I'm on Slick Deals, by the way, checking out any kind of game stuff that might be, on sale.
Tis the season.
It is. Immortals Fenyx Rising on Switch is $40 at Walmart. Anyway. All right. So, did you see Drunk Degenerates type in the chat room there?
No,
he wanted to know what build that you were playing in Cyberpunk. Nomad Mail?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we've got more news to give you on our Christmas episode, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Just other than the Christmas music, which is what we've got here. This is from, I think this might be one of yours that you gave me, because it's from Phantasy Star Universe. That sounds like a game that you would have given me music for.
Probably is, yeah.
So we'll just play this, and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Batman Arkham Origins. Joker's theme in that one. Which, by the way, spoiler alert, Joker's in Batman Arkham Origins. Even though they played it all up that he was not, he was. Which was basically just, it was interesting. It was, oh man, I can't remember the actor's voice actor's name. Like Roger Craig Smith, I think is his name, who did the voice for Batman in that game. Which was did not sound like a Kevin Conroy impersonation. But, God, who was the guy that played Joker? Dude's done so
Troy
many.
Troy Baker?
Troy Baker, yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember. Troy was straight up doing a Mark Hamill impersonation. Straight up doing a Mark Hamill impersonation. Which is absolutely fine to do, but I'm curious if they even offered it to Mark, you know, or if they just thought Troy's cheaper, maybe, I don't know, than getting Hamill to do it. I have no idea.
Yeah, if he wasn't available, we got a option two then, I guess, yeah.
But he was straight up doing an impersonation of that, so, yeah. So, anyway, we've got Weeks on the phone. We've got to call her every segment now. Or I think, yeah.
Hey!
Hi, buddy, what's going on?
I'm doing all right. Have you guys talked about Super Nintendo World yet today?
No, I haven't watched that. I've watched a little bit of that video. So Super Nintendo World is over in where, Japan, or?
Yeah, it's Universal Studios Japan is when it's opening in February.
Did you watch the video from yesterday?
I did. I'll be honest, I'm a huge Nintendo fan, but I was the tiniest bit underwhelmed. Not by the presentation of the video, not by the actual theme park or everything like that, but it was actually by the presentation, which was it was Miyamoto, and he did a great job. And I think it's really cool that Nintendo always does this thing where, you know, they put subtitles, and even in their directs they will translate it, but they're not trying to you know it is a Japanese thing, you know, it is their thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the way that they present it is in that way. This had subtitles, but it had no, at least the one that I saw, did not have an actual voiceover translation. But that's not why it was underwhelming. It just for me, the you know, I won't take any way. I don't really have any specifics to go by. Although we did watch it after the season finale of Mandalorian, so
yeah,
my wife and daughter were sitting there. I was like, "There's one last thing we got to watch before you're going to bed," and talking to my daughter. And my stock in Nintendo in the past week has gone up, and this is actually before they announced this video. Nintendo, of course, as you can just imagine, has had a very good year with sales. I mean, you can't even walk in and buy a Switch. You know, every now and then I'll see one. I'll call somebody who doesn't have one. I'll be like, "Hey, there's a Switch at Target." You know, and yeah. But that's, you know, we're at Target like a couple times a week, so I'm there to see it. But anyway, it does. The theme park itself looks beautiful. They even went through. They didn't really show much of the rides. They did
are there
show
that was my thing. Are there rides?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or is
there
it just a
sure.
walkthrough?
No, there's definitely going to be some kind of a Mario Kart themed ride.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are other things there. But I think I may be wrong. I think Orlando has more room than does Universal Studios Japan. To put more stuff in if they want to. Maybe that's why it's only opening first in Japan. Obviously, it's Nintendo, it's Japan, that makes sense. But it, you know, maybe they have more. And as I understand it, the Nintendo part of Universal Studios Orlando, which is the only one I've ever been to, that is the entrance to this will be between the Simpsons area and between the Dr. Seuss area. So there's a kind of back behind where the Simpsons stuff is.
Yeah, I've never been, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been, the last time I went down to Orlando was for Disney, and that was in 88 or 89. I can't remember.
I was born there, so I spent a lot of time at SeaWorld. Love SeaWorld. But anyway, no, I loved it, and you know, my stock went up. In the past 2 years, Nintendo stock went down to right around $30 or so a share, and mm-hmm. right now it's sitting snugly at $80 a share. So it's in the past 2 years, it's been doing very well, and of course you can attribute that to the Switch, but also some really fantastic titles. So you know, they've been doing well. And of course, Nintendo's master of nostalgia. I'm still waiting for that announcement for the N64 Classic.
Yeah, right. But you know, no, I'm sure I did see the video for that. I love the fact that you can, I guess, download an app on your phone and
you have a wristwatch.
The wristband thing communicates with your phone, and you can collect coins by tapping that on the question blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just that, there are a couple other areas where, you know, and I hope they do that. I think that's been pretty successful for, like, the wands that they sell at the mm-hmm. Harry Potter section. Because there's probably, I think it's like 40 or maybe even more different places where you can interact with your wand and make something happen in the park. Like, there's this really cool one where, you know, you do the special thing if you do it right, kind of metal umbrella, its water starts pouring out the edges of it. Very magical looking, you know.
Yeah. I saw some of it.
Yeah. On a side note, when I did go to Universal, this has been probably 6 years ago now, for the Harry Potter thing, there's a section there where it's Nocturnally. And, you know, if you know anything about Orlando, it's a very sunny place. Very, very bright Florida, obviously. But they did a really good job of making this completely pitch black inside, even though it's, you know, it's right outside of the sun. And there's a park employee there, just standing in there to, I guess, kind of make sure people are kind of moving through and stuff like that. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey man, do you know where I can get some gillyweed?" And he laughed, and then about 10 seconds later, he calls and says, "Hey, that's actually legal, you know." Anyway,
yeah.
it was fine. Sure. But and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what happens in Orlando and California also.
Well, have they said that they're going to bring it to the States?
Oh, for sure. They announced that at the end of the video. Yeah.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, it will, as they did not show, everything was Mushroom Kingdom related.
Right.
So there was no IP of Nintendo, anything else. And I didn't see any Kirby related things. I did not see any Zelda, which I was surprised, but then again, it's not open yet. So there may very well be some Zelda related stuff and possibly even Pokemon, or maybe they're dipping their toe in and they're going to see how this works, and they mm-hmm. may expand. You know, Universal has to recycle its real estate, you know, in its areas. You know, Universal Orlando is not it does not have nearly as much land as, like, say, Disney does.
Yeah.
Where Disney has parks, like, that are just completely abandoned, and they're just there, you know, and they'll build something new somewhere else. But they have, like, a resort or something. I know there's some really cool pictures you can find online of these abandoned Disney locations. But anyway, it's another reason to make a trip down there when it opens.
Yeah, you know, eventually I'll get there.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Anyway, hey, you guys have a great night. Take care. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas to you too. Yeah. Have a good one, man. Thanks for calling.
Take care now.
Bye bye.
Yeah, he mentioned something about abandoned stuff. I mean, there are channels on YouTube, probably Twitch as well, that features strictly abandoned malls and buildings and things like that.
Yeah, one of the big things I watched while I was at home sick, because all I really could do was sit there and watch TV, was. It was a channel called Defunct Land, and it talks about rides that are no longer at some of the Disney parks, and mm-hmm. how, and some of the Disney aspirations that they had, or things they tried to do but never could do, mm-hmm. and it goes over a bunch of different. Mostly, it sticks mostly with Disney stuff, but it also got. Yeah. They did an entire segment. If you go to Defunct TV, which is a offshoot of that. They did a whole thing, and I was about to tell you the AC Wraith. They did a whole thing on Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many parts. I think it's like a 5-part series or something. Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal. Loved every bit of that.
Defunct Land, huh?
Defunct Land is that. And okay. Defunct TV, Defunct I think, Land. Is okay. The other one. So, yeah, they really did a good job on that. The Mortal Kombat movie finally got a release date of April 16th of mm-hmm. this year. It'll be released in theaters and on HBO Max. I didn't know they were making one until Warner Brothers announced their entire slate for next year.
Yep.
And it was on there, and I was like, what? I haven't heard a single thing about it.
Yeah, I heard little bits and pieces of the casting and things like that going on through the throughout the year.
Yeah, had
so
no clue.
So they got
clue.
A date now, yeah. Okay.
Yep. So PC Gamer did this thing about their very bad week at CD Projekt Red, and it started, of course, with the release and had the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the seizure situation with the seizure triggers but no seizure warning. I'm guessing that was from the brain dance stuff. I'm not sure. There's a lot of flashy lights or something. I don't know what it was.
Heck, that's like when you wait, when you have to sit and wait for something.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bunch of pixels going across the screen, like a kind of like a bad test pattern on a television.
Yeah,
or something like that going through.
Then they had all those problems on the console. Then the CEO. Admitted many of the game's issues were ignored. They admitted there wasn't enough focus on the game's problems in the mad push. We underestimated the scale and complexity of the issues. We ignored the signals about the need for additional time to refine the game on the base last-gen consoles. It was the wrong approach and against our business philosophy, said the CEO or joint CEO. Let's see what else we got. There was terrible refund messaging for console players, mainly from Sony. As anger was directed at both Sony and CD Projekt, CDPR eventually changed its message and is no longer instructing console players to contact Sony. Instead, they told players to wait for us to get back to you. The whole thing was a complete shambles, leaving many PS4 players with no idea who to ask for a refund or if they would even get one. The PS4 refund situation was abruptly resolved, however, but more bad news for CD Projekt Red because Sony pulled the game from the PlayStation Store.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Interactive Entertainment strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased Cyberpunk 2017 or 2077 via PlayStation Store. Sony Interactive Entertainment will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from PlayStation Store until further notice. And what else? Oh, yeah, then there was the whole devotion thing, but that's... look, you got to know that CDPR, the same makers of Cyberpunk, own good old games, GOG.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thing about a game that was supposed to be released. They originally announced that they were going to release a game called Devotion. And then mere hours after the announcement that they were going to sell it, they issued a tweet that said the game will not be listed in the store due to many messages from gamers. Nobody exactly knows why, or at least what those messages were. But apparently there's something in there because there is a... there are references to China's president leading to massive review bombing on Steam and its removal from Steam entirely in 2019. Mm. I don't know exactly what all that is. So, yeah. I'm trying to read here. Yeah, they're all getting the bonuses, too. That's nice. But still, it's just sad to see that happened to those folks who really put some effort into making a game and by all accounts works on PC, no problem. So
mm-hmm.
What else did we have? Microsoft's offering refunds. Sony's offering refunds. EA is buying Codemasters for $1.2 billion.
With a B.
Yep. Nintendo had a Indie World Showcase this week, and they had that video of the Super Nintendo or the Nintendo World over at, I guess Super Nintendo World is what it would be, but yeah. which if you get a chance, watch the video. It's amazing to see it in real life and to see all that stuff, because I've been seeing it in, you know, photographs from above. I've been seeing it in concepts, but then seeing it actually moving around and stuff, it was impressive. It really was impressive. Mm-hmm.
It's not a cafeteria, and then they had all the mushroom tables and ceilings.
I didn't see the cafeteria. I only looked a little bit of it. I looked at the very beginning of it, watched him walk through the warp pipe into the castle, and then watched him walk outside, interact with some of the stuff there, and then then I stopped watching that. So, I don't know anything. Obviously, I guess you're going to be putting in time with Cyberpunk over the holidays.
Yeah, like I said, it's not as glitchy as all get out, but it's not so much to me. It's not enough where I would abandon it completely. It's just something I have to deal with eventually, because, like I said, the story is keeping me interested enough to keep persevering through it. Other than that, just whatever comes to mind, really, after I get done with it. Because if Josh says 40 hours and he's gotten through the storyline,
I was expecting a lot more than that.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I won't be too long, I believe, until I get through the storyline. If I just push through with where I'm at now, but like I said, it's the side missions that I'm doing that lets me build up and build my character. So I'll be focusing on that. So if I just focus on that, that's probably going to be the bulk of the game. Because not only do I've just found out there's not really side missions. Also, I've got gigs from other people that I'm getting phone calls from, the fixers and the other people in the area as well, and that's in its own separate category. Side missions, gigs from fixers, jobs for the police, you know, all things, they just pop up when you just show up in an area. So I'll probably have a heck of a lot more side missions to go through before I finish out. So it may be a while, but we'll see. How about yourself?
I was counting our news articles here. I have 19 news articles, 16 of them deal with CD Projekt Red.
But yeah, that's going to be the thing. That's really going to be the thing. I mean, high expectations, huge expectations, delays. People want to get more and more as the years went by. And now that we got it, it's not wasn't anywhere near what people expected it to be.
Hang on, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 18. I have 18. I'm sorry, I backed that up. 18 stories with 8 of them being CD Projekt Red.
And what I said stands.
Yeah. It still stands. Yeah,
it's still
stands.
It's still the big thing, man.
It completely still stands. Drunk DeGeneres says, I think you can beeline the story mode in 25 to 30 hours. Probably could.
Straight through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Lethal mentioned about something about getting, he said the arm blades, how surprisingly easy and early you get those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked in the game was how effective handguns would be, especially revolvers.
Mm-hmm.
I found this one called the an Overture. It's a legendary revolver handgun. The thing has multiple slots for mods and all types of gear, and it was like significantly more powerful than anything I picked up in the game at that point. So I started using that more readily than anything else. And it took me a long time before I got anything that was more powerful than that. Even some weapons that said it had more damage initially, it still did not perform the amount of power that this legendary weapon had. Even though it had lower damage, it was more effective than anything else. So I'll probably be losing that for the longest time.
And that happens sometimes because I know, and I look at Assassin's Creed, some of the armor you get or some of the gear that you get, while it might be in the... While it might be a higher tier than what you're currently wearing, the stats for it won't necessarily. Some of it will be better, but maybe for your play style or for what you're comfortable with, yeah, I'm going to stick with this. Like your weapon might be better, but it moves slower than the current weapon you have, which may deal less damage, but you can get more hits in than you could with the other. So
I think one of the best examples I ever had was the original Borderlands. One of the weapons I had with Roland was a auto burst three round burst rifle, and the damage was like close to 500. But every rifle I found after that, because all the perks he has is for the rifle anyway, every other rifle I found after that, no one came, nothing, none of them came near the amount of damage that this basic rifle had. And mm-hmm. I used that rifle the entire game. No other rifle could match it in terms of power. And I used that the entire game. And also, the amount of damage it put out was the amount that it healed my partners when I played online.
Right,
with.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
So one three round burst from this rifle would heal them completely off the bat, no matter how much damage they had. Full life meter.
I remember the fun guns from Borderlands.
Oh, they were ridiculous. They were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them lately though. I haven't played Borderlands 3. I think I stopped with the pre-sequel.
Yeah, I never got to Borderlands 3 either. By the way, it's on sale in the Epic Game Store, and with that $10 coupon, you can get it pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get it for just under $10 on the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, maybe later. So, maybe later, but not now.
Yeah.
I got too much to play. So
I know what I would like to get started on with the holidays is put in more time with Assassin's Creed, but I really mm-hmm. want to start Ghosts of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm. Take the T out.
I'm sorry.
Take the T out.
I want to start with the Ghost game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play Samurai.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, you see the reaction to them getting a Game of the Year for Player's Choice.
For the Player's Choice? I didn't see their reaction.
Yeah, it was amusing.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I'll have to check. Yeah. I know that they added in, for free, they added in four different costumes based on some... They had four different costumes, one based on God of War, one based on Bloodborne, one based on Shadow of the Colossus, and another one based on something else I'm forgetting. I can't remember. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Hmm.
And you have to do one of the legendary things, I guess. I don't know what that new bonus material that they added in there for free, of course.
In Ghosts,
yeah.
Yeah, the multiplayer... Legends or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. I haven't started that yet.
You gotta play one of those, get through it, and you'll get one of those outfits. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, a couple of them you can go through. I am behind. We gotta go.
Because
I always play this song in full whenever we stop. Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic holiday and Christmas, and we will see you after the new year. Merry Christmas. Here is something we end with every time. It is the One-Ups with the Overclock remix of Mario Sleigh Ride is what it's called. Have a fantastic Christmas, folks. Thank you so much for a wonderful year. And we'll talk about that next year, actually. So have a good one. Bye-bye.